This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Here's a quick update from Bursa Malaysia. The FBM KLCI is 0.2% lower at 1,380 points, reversing Friday's 0.4% gain as regional bourses also turn red this morning. Amongst the most actively traded stocks are Care Plus Group, Key Alliance, Hubline Berhad, Shidalang Holdings and HSN Berhad. Gainers are led by Pegasus Heights, Niche Capital EMAS Holdings, DGB Asia Berhad, Borneo Oil and Luster Industries. Decliners include EduSpec Holdings, VivoCo International, MNC Wireless, PDZ Holdings and Sinheng Chan International. We'll have more in the next news update at the top of the hour.
Yeah, so speaking about cashless apps and contactless payments or contactless apps and new normals, in recent weeks during the whole MCO period, many of us have had to rely, I think rely is an understatement, have had to depend on for survival on food delivery services like Grab. And I don't know about you, but I personally have seen more riders in the last 2 weeks on the roads than I ever have before. Many food operators have had to shut when the MCO was first announced and were trying to find a way to get on any digital platform in order to have some inflow of cash to go about their everyday lives. As you may have heard from numerous entrepreneurs as well, we've spoken to on the show, most of their business is a cash business.
Mm. So any drop in sales today affects them tomorrow. They usually don't have a long runway to delivery services, and in some ways it's a good way to help them sustain. But as you may have heard in various channels, there is a charge or a cut that services like Grab take from the merchants on their platform. And this has become a hot topic of discussion for many. So on the line, we have Sean Goh, the Managing Director and Country Head for Grab Malaysia. Sean, I guess we have to start with your response to the fees that Grab imposes on its merchants.
Yeah, so commissions or service fees, you know, it's always a hot topic. Typically, we charge somewhere between 20% and 30%. And I think for a lot of business owners who are very conscious of their margins, right, the question that always comes to mind is, like, well, how is it that Grab is making more out of this sale than I am myself, right? I think it's totally natural to be focused on commissions, because that's the margin that businesses want to increase. But it's important to remember that most of these service commissions actually go to the delivery riders. And we have to be fair to them too. They're risking themselves out there every day. Right now, riders really need the income. And restaurants also really need the riders more than ever to continue to deliver their food so that they can continue to generate sales. So what we're trying to do here is strike a balance between all the parties.
But there's also the argument that the percentage is too much or too high, especially when businesses are struggling to even survive. Is there a range of how much cut do you take from the merchants? Like, do they vary depending on the outlets?
Yep. So today we have a range of commissions. Typically, it does vary from merchant to merchant. Typically, we look at the amount of sales that the merchant gets, as well as the average order value from the merchant. So if you have merchants that have typically pretty small orders, in those cases, we would have a higher percentage commission because we need to be able to cover the delivery fee. As to the question on, like, could delivery fees be lower, right? Like, if for people who think that they are maybe a little bit high, maybe just to give some context, so if you look at net commissions after accounting for delivery costs, which is where most of the commissions actually go, as well as marketing costs, what we've left with is actually a very small net platform commission. In fact, we're currently in negative net commissions territory, which means that GrabFood is still loss-making. And to explain why the costs are so high, if you think about a delivery platform that doesn't do any deliveries, right? Doesn't pay any delivery fees to their delivery income to their riders. Those platforms tend to charge a few percentage points, and that would be higher than what we're already making today. So what we actually thought about doing was, we said for some businesses that actually don't really require this delivery service and therefore costs us a lot less, during MCO, what we did was we created multiple zero commission methods for restaurants to sell, either through self-pickup or via WhatsApp or Facebook, where we facilitate the payments for free.
So in some ways, the cut that you take from the merchants also goes into marketing them on your platform. Things like the Grab signature and the free deliveries, and even now during Ramadan.
Yeah, that's right. So I mentioned that we're currently in negative net commissions, and that's partly because what we're trying to do in this difficult period is make sure that our restaurants continue to get sales. We know that they're a lot more reliable, a lot more reliant on delivery services at the moment. So what we're doing is creating a lot more awareness, generating those sales and making sure we fulfill them. So the belief here is that even with lower margins, it's better to have more sales than to have no sales at higher margins.
Sean, there's a number of new platforms that have emerged during this MCO period. Some are as simple as just like a Facebook group and some a little more advanced, but they all have one thing in common, which is zero fees to both seller and buyer. So what is your take on the rise of these new platforms?
Yeah, so we actually see it favorably. I believe that with more and more avenues and channels for merchants to sell, the awareness of the digital economy and the food delivery business and market increases as well. We see that there are many different models. So for example, you could create a Facebook group and have restaurants be connected to consumers and charge zero margin, and that would be fine. Charge zero commissions, that would be fine, because actually all the costs are borne by the merchant themselves. They have to market themselves. They have to deal with inbound inquiries. And I think that's a good way to supplement the sales. But if you ask most merchants, I think it's clear why those channels tend not to give that much sales to the merchant. It's because they actually handle all the marketing themselves.
And what about the onboarding process? How's that been recently? And has it been sped up to help more businesses get online?
Yeah, so we saw an influx of demand coming in from restaurant and business owners at the beginning and tried to re-engineer our business to try and cater to that. So what we did was we shortened the onboarding time to about 3 days. And we did this mainly by creating a lot of self-service tools for business owners to set up, for example, to set up their own menu so that we can just onboard them and they go live. We've done a lot more remote onboarding now so that we limit exposure, where merchants use their own devices and we do a digital training. And also, one thing that we wanted to do to encourage more businesses to be able to come on board is we've waived all onboarding fees. There's no fees for signing up, and it's purely a fee for sales and delivery.
We're going to take a short break right now, Sean, whilst we give you some messages, folks at home. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. On the line with us, we have Sean Goh. He's the Managing Director and Country Head for Grab Malaysia. We're talking, of course, about things like the charges that Grab use and a whole bunch of other stuff. Just some messages right now. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9.
Billions from me. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You tuned into Enterprise. I'm Rich Bradbury with
Arvind Braj.
We've been speaking with Sean Goh. He is the country head and managing director for Grab Malaysia. Asked him a bunch of questions earlier on. If you've missed them, we asked about his response to the fees and about whether or not the percentage is charged too high. These are all things that if you missed a little bit earlier, you can catch on the podcast, which will be up a little bit later on. But of course, we've still got Sean with us, and Arv's got a whole bunch of questions for him.
Yeah. So, Sean, in your previous interview with us on the Breakfast Grill, you mentioned some of the care packages that you have for your riders during this period. Could we get an update on those care packages?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, if you think about this difficult period, right, one of the biggest stakeholders that have been impacted is the rider community. They need to continue to feed their families. But the really good thing is that as the more jobs we create for riders, the more supply we have to be able to reliably fulfill deliveries for restaurants. So we've actually focused a lot on our efforts on our delivery riders. We've done a few different programs here. The latest one being a program where we shipped out 1 million masks to all our delivery riders and drivers so that they can continue to protect themselves as well as our consumers and merchants. On top of that, we've created a few funds to help our drivers tide over this period. One of them is a discount fund where we give them about up to 50% or 500 ringgit off of daily essentials, so food, pasar, GrabMart items. And finally, we have got an insurance program in place in case any of our drivers or delivery riders fall sick due to COVID.
Now, although we're coming towards the end of the Ramadan season, what have you been doing to help the micropreneurs during this time? Usually it's a time for them to gain some good income with the bazaars and the stalls. And of course, that's not allowed this year. Most are looking to online players. How have you guys been helping them?
Yeah, you know, Ramadan has just traditionally been a very important month for Malaysians, right? Not just for the consumers, but also for the vendors who actually make a lot of their income in this period. So what we wanted to do was help digitize the Ramadan Bazaar in a safe way. And in order to do that, we've worked with the Selangor State Government to introduce Grab E-Kitchen Selangor, which is basically a partnership to bring the traditional bazaar sellers online. On top of that, we also worked with our existing GrabFood restaurants, and this is nationwide, to create a very special selection for Ramadan. We call this GrabFood Favorites. Basically, you have all your favorites like lemang, ayam percik, murtabak, you name it. All these things available from our existing proven restaurants and GrabFood. And finally, not forgetting the micropreneurs that you mentioned, the home sellers. We created a new program called Grab Express Ramadan, which basically helps them do two things. One, we help them get discovered by millions of consumers in Malaysia. And secondly, we help them deliver easily to their customers' doorsteps.
And we're currently in what the government calls conditional MCO or CMCO. And some businesses are toying with this idea of a partial reopening with strict SOPs. What's your take on this? And where do you see delivery platforms like yourself in this current state?
Yeah, you know, I think right now it's about survival, both financially as well as in terms of health and safety. It's not about maximizing profits for now. So what I believe businesses should really think about is reopening in a very safe way, minimize walk-ins and dine-ins, and try to really establish that online presence, create awareness online, try to build an online following, and be creative in the ways in which you leverage that community. It could be Grab Food awareness, leverage one of our programs like Local Heroes for small restaurants. It could be through Facebook marketing, through WhatsApp leads, but try and build that online presence so that when the time comes and the economy fully reopens, I hope that these restaurants will have a two-prong approach and they'll have two viable channels and they will really start to succeed then.
So, looking ahead, what can we expect from Grab? What's your outlook for the rest of the year?
Yeah, we always believe in using difficult times to try and reorient the business. First of all, to help ensure survival in the current period. So, our own survival as a platform, given most of our volumes have dropped off ride-hailing, as well as to help our stakeholders survive. For example, helping retailers sell online, not just restaurants, or helping our Grab car drivers be able to earn an income through delivering items, no longer just ferrying people. So this stage, I believe, is about survival. But what we'll try to do is make sure that everything we put in place right now not only helps us ensure current survival, but also helps us position for growth when things come back. So for example, a lot of the new stuff I've mentioned, launching GrabMart for retailers, launching Pasar for market vendors, letting cars do deliveries, all these things actually position us for growth when things pick up again. So it's a double whammy.
So that was Sean Goh, the managing director and country head for Grab Malaysia, giving you some clarity into the percentage cuts they impose on their partners and some of the new things that they're doing during this Ramadan season.
Yeah, something Sean said just now is pretty interesting when he said that, you know, when the economy fully reopens, he's hoping that businesses will adopt like a two-prong approach. So you have like the online side and then you have the offline side, the brick and mortar people coming into the restaurants. A few entrepreneurs that we've spoken to before have admitted that, you know, some of them say, yes, the cuts by food delivery services is a bit too high. But then they also agree that maybe without the delivery services, they wouldn't have those customers in the first place. Because some of them don't want to go to the restaurant. They want to just order on the app. So it's an all or nothing. It's either they get to order on the app and the restaurant gets the income minus the commission, or they don't get that income at all. So it's a. I think people are going to be debating about this for some time, but it's an interesting argument, I think.
It's a very interesting argument, and it's not just here in Malaysia as well, obviously. I mean, I recently spoke to a business owner over in China who's having these same reservations about using delivery apps. You know, they charge a percentage as well, and he feels as though that percentage is unfair. But then we had the discussion as to whether or not would he have any sales at all during a kind of lockdown. And he, you know, he admitted, no, I wouldn't be able to do anything without these guys who are coming, collecting the food and delivering it. And, and well, there you go. You can't have both, right?
Yeah. And even without the lockdown, even in normal circumstances, if someone's, let's say they're at home after a long day of work in the evening and you don't want to leave the house, the only way you're going to order for food is through an app. And you'd have to, the restaurant would make that income minus the cut that the app takes. But without the app and without that service, that restaurant isn't getting the customer who doesn't want to leave the house. You know what I mean? So it's again, it goes back like in circles. You can argue that it is too high, but on the other side, would you be getting that if you don't use the app in the first place? I think Rennie from My Burger Lab also mentioned this a couple of weeks ago on one of the webinars that we had, when he said that yes, the he's okay with the cost being high because of the exposure and the ease of getting their food to the customers. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah. Speaking of webinars as well, it just so happens that Roshan Kanasan just dropped me a message saying, we have a webinar today, Rich, at 12:30. So I'm going to tell you what it's all about. As the MCO and COVID-19 impact incomes and the economy, should you cut down on insurance plans? Join the webinar today as they get these questions and other important parts to protection planning. That's happening at 12:30 p.m. live on BFM's Facebook page if you want to give it a listen. Meanwhile, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back after the news with Powering Through the Pandemic. Who's it with?
I spoke to actually all about Book Access and Big Bad Wolf Book Sale. Like, how is it going to happen, you know, this year if social distancing is a thing?
There you go. Find out more a little bit later on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.